I'm glad to see all the smiling faces out here this morning.
Man,
I just want to extend a Merry Christmas to you all and Happy New Year's to you. I want to thank this church, first of all, for just allowing me the opportunity to be here. And I want to thank your pastor for his friendship,
Amen.
His love,
Amen.
His counsel.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has been so good to me. I can't thank you enough, Pastor. And let you know how much I truly, truly love you.
Right.
And I really appreciate everything you do for me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And again, I would be remiss if I would not say thank you to the Ocon family.
Amen.
I'm glad that you all came out this morning. And I know First Lady alluded to that the church is going through. But that's the thing about going through. You know, the scripture says to count it all joy, right? As you're going through, because we know that on the other side of it, we're coming out.
Right.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So it's okay to go through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to thank our church family. I know we're going through, but we're coming out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just want to take just a minute just to say thank you for this opportunity to be before you and before your people this morning. And we want to thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, whose birthday we are here to celebrate today. Now, Lord, I thank you for your word, and we meditate in it day and night. Lord, we do all according that is written therein. For then, Lord, we will make our way prosperous and have good success. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word remain forever. We thank you for the power to get wealth. Lord, my whole being is ready to receive from you. Lord, as I decrease, I pray that you increase in me. I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, man.
Hallelujah.
I want to talk to you today about what is the real meaning of Christmas.
Amen.
We want to unwrap Christmas today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See, because most people define Christmas by what they see.
Yeah.
You know, the trees, the lights, shopping, gifts, food, and parties.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not what Christmas is all about.
No, no, no.
It's not something that we can observe. I mean, so my question to you today is, do we go through all the decorating and buying presents and preparing elaborate meals, but somehow forget whose birthday it really is?
Yeah, that's right.
What does Christmas mean to you? Mm-hmm. At Christmas time, we find ourselves getting all wrapped up with the busyness of the holiday rather than the true meaning of what Christmas is all about.
Right.
This Christmas, though, I pray that we can focus on the greatest gift of all.
Amen.
The gift that God sent to us through the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
A long time ago.
Amen.
It seems that throughout the years, we, instead of realizing the true meaning of Christmas, we have wrapped Jesus up with wrapping paper, decorated with Santa Claus and sugar plums and eggnog and the almighty dollar.
Yeah. Yes.
God's plan for salvation of mankind had to begin with the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes.
Without it, there would be no crucifixion.
Right.
There would be no resurrection.
That's right.
And there would be no hope for humanity.
That's right.
So it's time to unwrap Jesus and realize what Christmas is all about.
Yes.
Come on now.
So today I want to unwrap Christmas to get a better look at it and enjoy the greatest gift that God has ever given us.
Amen.
Question. What do you think Christmas means to the non-Christian? To someone who has never accepted his love and forgiveness. What do you think Christmas means to someone that lives in a far-off region, living in a hut, who knows nothing about Santa Claus, presents, or Christmas trees? What do you suppose Christmas means to them? What do you think it means to little children in a third world country with no running water and empty bellies? What does Christmas mean to them? What does Christmas mean to each of you? Do you cherish the truth? See, I'm sure it means different things to different people. Now, for instance, to the merchants, it means the busiest time of the year.
That's right.
Stores stay open longer.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire extra help to accommodate all the shoppers. It means more profit, hopefully enough profit to see them through the lean times ahead.
Yeah.
For some employees, it means a Christmas bonus.
Mm-hmm.
A little more money in their pockets to do the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
For many teenagers and adults, it means it's time for a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For children, it means a time of impatience.
Mm-hmm.
With time seeming to pass slowly as they wait for Christmas morning.
Come on now.
But sometimes I get the feeling that we're like folks who decided to throw a party to honor a very special friend. They sent out the invitations, decorated the hall, had the food catered, and all the people came together at the designated time, but to their surprise, the guest of honor wasn't there.
Come on.
Finally, they made an embarrassing discovery that no one had ever invited the guest of honor.
Mercy, mercy, mercy.
You know, I wonder, do we go through all the decorating and buying all the presents and preparing these elaborate meals, but somehow forget whose birthday it really is?
Man, that's true.
It isn't your birthday, is it?
No.
It's the Lord's birthday.
That's right.
And it's time for us to remember his birth and what it's supposed to mean to us. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2.
All right, man.
And I want to read a few verses here for us. Luke chapter 2. Let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 2. Everybody there?
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
I'm going to start reading at verse number 8.
Right.
It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock and flocks at night.
Mm-hmm.
And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people.
Mm-hmm.
Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born unto you. Let me read that again because I don't think you heard me.
Come on now.
He said, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born unto you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
He is the Messiah.
Yeah.
The Lord, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests.
Amen.
Oh, that's something right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
He said, and as the angel appeared to the shepherds, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angels, praising God. So I'm going to ask you just for 20 seconds, if you would just stand on your feet and let's praise the King. Amen. Just for 20 seconds. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. God in the highest. Yes.
Praising God to the highest.
Yes, yes, oh God.
See, the fact that God made the announcements to shepherds helps us to understand the real meaning of Christmas. See, God so loved the world.
Yes, he did.
That he gave his only begotten Son.
Hallelujah. Yes.
And he chose to announce that to shepherds, first of all.
Come on.
Come on, somebody.
Thank you, now.
See, shepherds were at the opposite end of society of the day.
Come on.
Yeah. And they lived in the fields where with their animals.
Right.
And they weren't that highly respected.
That's right.
And they had no power or prestige. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Yet God's angels came and said to them,
yes.
He said, unto you.
Unto you. Hallelujah.
Is born this day.
This right. day.
In Thank the city you. Of David. A Savior who was Christ the Lord. Mm. He said, unto the shepherds.
Mm.
Don't miss it now.
Come on.
He said, unto the shepherds.
Come on now.
A Savior was born.
Yes. Right.
And that one simple announcement God had made known some very important truths. And I'm going to share 3 points with you today, and I'm going to sit down.
Amen.
Number one.
Yes, sir.
Is you are important to God.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I should get more amen. You are important to God.
Amen.
See, first of all, this scripture tells us that no matter how insignificant you may think you are,
Come on now.
God knows you.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Amen.
Yes. No matter how insignificant you may think you are, God knows
yes,
you.
Yes, he does.
Go with me. Let me show you how God knows you. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, please.
All right.
God knows you.
Amen.
You are important to God. Jeremiah chapter 1.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Are you there?
Amen.
Verse number 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb.
Yes. I knew you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Before I what? Knew you in the womb.
Yes.
I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart.
Mm.
I appointed you as a prophet to the nations, it says.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says, before you were even thought of, I knew you.
Mm. Already done.
Before you were even conceived, I knew you.
Yeah. Mm.
Come on now.
He said, before you were born, I consecrated
Come
you.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I set you apart.
Yes.
Oh, come on now.
Come on now. I know what you're talking about.
I set you apart.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
I consecrated you.
That's right.
He said, I not only knew you and consecrated you.
Amen.
He said, but I called you.
That's right.
Amen.
To be a prophet.
Amen. Come on,
somebody.
Come on now.
To speak for me.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Have
mercy.
Yes.
See, God knew you as he knew Jeremiah.
Thank come on. You, Jesus.
See, long before you were born or even conceived,
thank
he
you,
thought
Lord.
About and planned for you.
Hallelujah.
In Jeremiah 29:11, the scripture says that
yes.
I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you.
Yes.
Thoughts of good and not
yes.
of evil.
That's
watch
right.
this, watch this. To bring you
yes.
to an expected end.
Come on.
Yes. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
He said, I knew you.
Thank
so when you feel discouraged.
Come on.
Or inadequate. You've got to remember that God has always thought of you as valuable.
Hallelujah.
And that he has a purpose in mind for you.
Thank
yes,
you,
man.
Jesus.
You are important to God.
Thank yes. you, Jesus.
You are important to God.
Hallelujah.
Go to Psalms 139.
Thank you, Jesus.
Psalms 139. You are important to God. Psalms 139, verse number 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your works are wonderful. I know that very well.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, God's character goes into the creation of every person. See, when you feel worthless,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even begin to hate yourself.
Come on.
Mm-mm.
Remember that God's Spirit is ready and willing to work within you.
That's right.
Yes.
Because you are important to Him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. See,
Amen.
I remember back when I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts, and we used to have this old antique dealer in our town that his name was Mr. Green, and that he would go around throughout the city, and he would pick up old things and that people would throw away or put off the side that wasn't worth anything to them anymore. See, he would find stuff that people have thrown away. See, and then he would bring it back to his shop,
talking to them.
Yeah. Fix it up, and then sell it for thousands of dollars.
Yes, wow. Yes.
See, he would go find junk that's worthless to everybody else in everybody else's eyes.
Yeah. Come on.
But when he looked at it,
come on.
He would see something different. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
See, he would see a masterpiece.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Come on now.
See, he would see a masterpiece in the making. Mm. See, then all of a sudden, that which was worthless and not worth much became worth thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you may have been worthless before. Oh,
come on now. Come on.
You may have been worthless before you got a hold of Jesus.
Yes. Come on.
But once you met Jesus, even when you were in the junkyard,
He's
able to go into that junkyard.
Come on.
Reached his hand down in the muck and mire, pull you out of that thing, turn you into something so valuable that you become something so much worthy of his praise. Amen. You are his masterpiece.
Yes.
See, somebody ought to feel some rulership.
Hallelujah.
See, I don't know about you, but when I hear that I'm a masterpiece, I'm his workmanship. I begin to feel a little rulership.
Glory.
Because you understand that. You are of divine design.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
You are a masterpiece.
Thank you.
And God has a purpose and a plan for you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. But see, Satan wants you to lose sight of your uniqueness.
Mercy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See, but it's all through Scripture.
True.
We see God honoring and using people and things that the world often looks or overlooks or ignores.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the 26-28 verses, and I'm going to paraphrase, he says, "Brothers, think of what you were before you were called."
Yes.
Come on.
That's right. That's right.
Think of what you were before you were called.
Yes.
I'm reminded of a little Jewish boy who was, his brothers had plotted to kill him,
mm-hmm.
and then that didn't work out, so they threw him in a pit.
Come on.
Mm.
Come on now.
And his older brother sold him into slavery.
Come on.
Yes.
Had him carted off to Egypt.
Mercy.
Then he gets to Egypt. He begins to work for a man named Potiphar.
Yes.
And Potiphar's wife had the eye on him.
Yes,
she put the eye on him. You know what I'm saying? And she wanted him she wanted to get to know him.
Right. Come on.
Amen. She wanted to get to know him.
That's right.
But he held on to righteous principles.
Yes. Yes.
And when she came on to him, come on somebody.
Yes.
He ran out of there.
Yeah.
Left his coat and everything.
Right. Yes. Come on.
He got up out of there, but then she accused him of rape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He gets sent to the dungeon.
Come on.
Yeah. And while he's in the dungeon, somebody,
come on now.
He's forgotten about all these years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when God decided that he wanted to deliver a special message to Pharaoh, it was the slave Joseph, somebody, who was brought out of the dungeon to interpret the message.
Yes.
God uses the lowly and the despised to show his mighty power.
Right. Come on.
In fact, when God decided to select a mother for his son, he went past the fashion salon.
Come on.
Past the beauty parlor.
Yeah.
He went past the furs and the diamonds and the gold.
Yes.
And he went to a little insignificant village called Nazareth.
Yes.
And he found a peasant girl.
Thank you, Jesus.
She didn't dress in designer clothes.
Come on.
She didn't have a sophisticated education.
Come on.
But she was pure.
Yes.
Come
on now.
Word.
She was pure.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And God selected her to be the mother of his only begotten son.
Yes. Yes.
See, the world looks down his nose and says, that's foolish.
Mm-hmm.
That's foolishness. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul says the foolishness of God
is
wiser than man's
that's
wisdom.
Right.
Amen. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
Mm.
See, when God makes his announcement, it's delivered to the shepherds.
Yes. Yes.
It's like Jesus saying, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if God cares about the sparrows and the lilies, then he cares about you.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
If God cares about the shepherds, he cares about you.
That's right.
Amen. You are important to God.
Yes.
And I believe we need to hear that. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We need to hear that, don't we?
Amen.
That God
Amen.
Cares about
That's
you.
The truth.
Amen.
Children that are 12 and 13 years old that are living in orphanages need to hear that when they see the younger children being adopted.
Yeah.
Amen. And they realize that they probably will never be adopted.
Mercy.
They need to hear that.
They need to hear that. Yes.
Mothers of children without a husband to help them need to hear that.
Yes.
Amen.
Those that are on Skid Row and lost on Skid Row who drink away their fears, they need to hear that.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
People who are lonely need to hear that.
Yes.
Husbands who have lost their wives in death need to hear
yes.
that.
Thank
Amen.
Jesus.
Watch this. Church people.
Come on.
I said church people.
Yes.
Who feel useless and empty
come on.
Need to hear that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We all need to hear that.
Thank you, Jesus.
All of us sitting in this room today have known feelings of rejection.
Yes.
All of us have known and had feelings of being left out.
Yes.
Amen. But I want you to know today that you are important to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See, Christmas will come and the light shines and God says, no, you're wrong. He says, I made an announcement to the shepherds and I make it unto you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, unto you
mm-hmm.
a Savior is born.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Secondly,
thank you,
what I want to share with you is that your life matters to God.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Oh, somebody needs to say
amen.
Amen.
Your life matters to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not only you, but your life counts with God.
Amen.
Yes.
See, I imagine those shepherds must have sat around that campfire many times and wondered if life was really worthwhile or not.
Mm.
I mean, what difference does it make if we watch these sheep or not?
Mm.
Hmm. Maybe we wonder as well.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make if I get up in the morning or not?
Mm.
Mm. Mm. It seems as if my life is in an endless cycle of things that really don't mean anything.
Mm.
I just wonder if life is worth living at all.
Yeah.
See, when God comes and makes this announcement to shepherds, he's also saying to us, your life is worthwhile.
Come on.
He said, in fact, your life is my gift to you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Therefore, we should live every golden moment of it because your life matters to me, God says.
Yes.
You see, every life matters. I said every life matters. Okay, and we should know that. See, it's impossible to live even for a few moments on this earth and not influence somebody in one way or another. Amen?
Amen.
We're always influencing someone.
Amen.
Influencing someone either for good or for bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I want to ask you this question. Does anybody remember Bubba Smith? See, Bubba Smith was this big 6'8", 285-pound defensive end that played for the Oakland Raiders back in the day, right? And Bubba Smith, after he retired, he went on to make some commercials and TV shows, you know, and he played in one of his most popular ones was Police Academy. But he also made the commercial where he would tear off the top of a beer can and then they would get into an argument about less filling or taste great. You remember him now, right? Bubba Smith.
Yeah.
See, well, in the magazine article that was written about him, Bubba said that he never drank beer. See, if he just advertised it. See, and he felt good about his job. It was an easy job. And it was an enjoyable job, and it paid his salary after he retired from football. Amen.
Amen.
Until one day he went back to Michigan State, which was his alma mater, and he was the grand marshal of the homecoming parade. And Bubba Smith was riding in the limousine at the head of the parade, and he heard a lot of people on both sides of the parade, and they were shouting. And what were they shouting? Were they shouting, Hail Michigan State?
Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't. They were shouting, Taste great! Less filling! And Bubba suddenly realized that he and the beer commercials that he had made had a tremendous impact on the students at Michigan State.
Right.
And the message that he had gotten was that it was all right to drink light beer.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, Bubba was at Fort Lauderdale, and he was on the beach during spring break and saw all these drunken college kids up and down the beaches shouting, "Tastes great! Let's fill it!" And when it came time to renew his contract, he refused to sign it.
Amen.
And he said that he didn't want his life to count for something like that.
Amen. Right. Amen.
He said that there was a still small voice in his mind that kept saying to him, "Bubba, stop. Stop, Bubba. Your life matters to God."
Yes.
You see, everybody's life counts for something.
Yes.
And your life matters to God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story about one of these churches that kept records of various things that were going on in the church. And one of the things they kept record of was their baptisms.
Mm-hmm.
And one entry, it stated that not much happened this month. Mm-hmm. And it said, "We had a few baptisms, but they were all children." Within the, you know, within that, the list of names that was written in that section was a man named Tony Capallo. And he's the founder of the Evangelical Association for Promotion of Education.
Okay.
Right? Which works to help at-risk kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it in the U.S. and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And he also helped establish some universities and colleges around the country. Amen?
Amen.
He was also an ordained Baptist minister. And he served as a pastor at Mount Carmel Baptist Church in West Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is this, your life matters. Amen? Your life matters. Now, I ask myself, I suppose, what did the people in Bethlehem wrote about that evening? Maybe they would have wrote, "Nothing much happened this month. Some lady came in on a donkey, gave birth to a baby and put him in the manger. But that's about it." Except that a baby was born.
Yes. Glory.
A baby that came and changed the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Your life matters to God. Not only does your life matter to God, you are important to God. And thirdly, your faith matters to God.
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Your faith matters to
God.
Come on now. See, I wonder, you know, shepherds, they're men of faith.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And they probably had more faith than some of the scribes and Pharisees that were going into the synagogues.
That's right.
Right? And they believed in the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
All of God's children believed in the Messiah. And when things got especially hard during times of poverty and enslavement and exile, they would think about the Messiah and God's promises that one day the Messiah would come.
Yes.
And they prayed over and over again, "Let the Messiah come. Let him come today." That's what they were praying.
Mm-hmm.
They prayed that prayer thousands of years. And they must have wondered, is our faith worth anything? Does God hear our prayers? Does God keep his promises? Will the Messiah ever come? There must have been many who quit. See, there must have been many who quit praying. There must have been many who quit having faith. But when the announcement came to the shepherds, God was saying, "Your faith matters.
Come on.
It's not in vain. I am a God who hears and a God who keeps promises."
Come on, brother. Man.
Now the Messiah has come.
Yes.
He says, "And I have kept my promise."
Yes.
Well, how about us?
Come on, brother.
See, I know sometimes we get weary.
Yes.
Sometimes we quit praying.
Come on.
Let's just be real.
Come on.
Sometimes we.
Come on.
Sometimes we quit the faith.
Well.
Sometimes we don't want to come to church. And we may wonder times when if it's worthwhile that I'm even going to church. There are times when we wonder if it's worth sacrificing for God. There are times when we wonder, is it, you know, I wonder, is it worth being a pastor?
Come on.
Come on now.
Come on, pastor.
Maybe I ought to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Why bother with all this responsibility?
Come on. Mercy.
Why deal with all the issues in the church?
Come on.
Sometimes, saints, I feel like giving up.
Mercy.
I feel like throwing in the towel.
Mercy.
Sometimes I get weary. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I feel like moving on.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I wonder if my prayers are even being heard.
Come on.
We wonder why is it taking God so long?
Come on.
We wonder is it worth it at all?
Yes, sir.
But one day,
yes,
show up.
He will come.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
He will come for all of us.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Shepherds.
Come on.
Kings.
Yes. Come on.
Priests.
Yes.
Wise men and peasants.
Hallelujah.
He will come for his people.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he will dry the tears away.
Yes.
Take away the pain. There'll be no more death.
Yes.
Come on. No more goodbye.
Yes.
And then we'll say, was it worth it? Was it worth it at all?
Come on.
Would we be able to say, like Paul told Timothy, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Thank you, Jesus.
Would we be like the instructions that Paul gave to Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Is it worth it? Is my faith worth it?
Mercy.
Are you there?
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race.
Yes.
I have kept
the faith.
The faith.
Woo, Jesus.
Now there is in store for me
yes.
the crown of righteousness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day.
Yes.
And not only to me.
Glory.
But also to all who have longed for his appearance.
Yes.
See, Paul was at his end of his 30 years of laboring in the Word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, somebody.
Thank you, Lord.
And Paul was telling Timothy, he was saying, stay in faith.
Yes.
You've fought the good fight.
Yes.
You've been faithful. Keep the faith.
Yes.
Now, Paul, we know he faced calamity. He faced death. And knowing that he would be rewarded by Christ, though, in the end. So, here's a question for you. Is your life preparing you for death?
Come on, now.
Do you share Paul's confidence and expectations of meeting Christ?
Amen.
The good news is that the heavenly reward is not just for the giants of the faith like Paul,
amen.
But for all of us who are eagerly looking forward to Jesus' second coming. Amen.
Amen.
See, Paul gave these words of encouragement to Timothy and to us. And no matter how difficult the fight seems,
come on.
Keep fighting.
Amen. Yes.
Keep the faith.
Amen.
See, because when you are with Jesus Christ, we'll discover that it was all worth it.
Yes.
See, we need to be encouraged during this time of the year to invite friends and family and neighbors during this Christmas season.
Yes.
You know, studies even show that again and again that during Christmas season, more people are open to spiritual truth than any other time of the year.
Yes.
Amen.
They're willing to let their guard down and hear the name and the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And this is something that we all must be reminded of, because the true meaning of Christmas must be shared by us.
Yes.
Listen,
that's right.
The Christmas season is among us.
Yes, it is.
This is our time as Christians to share what it truly means to us.
Amen.
This is our time as Christians to take a stand and share the truth. You know, with this world that has accepted lies and mediocrity, and they've accepted it far too long.
Yes.
This is our time as Christians to get busy for the God. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
The one and only Christ.
Yes.
This is our time to realize the importance of Christmas.
Yes.
Because Jesus came to earth. We can think about Christmas in an entirely new way. Amen?
Yes.
One, we can look at it when we look at the tree it reminds us of the cross where he died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we look at the gifts, it reminds us of the of eternal life that he offers us.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when we look at the lights, it reminds us of the light of the world now that lives in our heart.
Come on, man.
Amen. So considering all that Christ has done for us, we should be filled with gratitude at Christmas.
Come on.
Amen.
With all the distractions and traditions of Christmas, we need to be intentional about keeping Jesus the central focus.
That's right.
So what does Christmas mean to you?
Amen.
Because the scripture clearly says, unto you, a Savior was born.
Come on.
This day.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. You are important to God.
Yes.
Your life matters to God. And your faith matters to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you receive that, come on and give us some praise.
Amen.
Praise God.